Good evening. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. As we continue our series of studies in this great epistle. I was just thinking about the book of 1 John as we were sitting there singing these songs together. And I had this thought in my mind. If you want to be encouraged, read the book of 1 John. If you want assurance of eternal salvation, read the book of 1 John. And you will find yourself being encouraged. And you will see the assurance that we have of eternal salvation. As we've been studying 1 John chapter 5 last week, we looked at the first five verses. We simply want to quickly recap those verses because these five verses really flow into our study for tonight, which will consist of 6 through 12. But as we look at the book of 1 John chapter 5, the Apostle John reminds us that we are overcomers in Jesus Christ. And we also notice that we can know if we're overcomers or not. As you think about what John is saying, we are overcomers. How do we know we're overcomers? Well, John will answer that question. We know that we are overcomers if we've been born again. And the Apostle John is going to talk about that in verse 1 when he says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." I want to read a passage in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, the writer is talking about the new covenant that we live under. And you'll notice in Hebrews chapter 8 that the writer is quoting an Old Testament passage, quoting Jeremiah 31, 31 and following, showing that the old law has been done away with. No longer do we live under the old law, we live under the new covenant. The verse that I want us to read together is found in Hebrews 8, verse 11. I want you to consider the language because we're going to make some application of it by going back to 1 John chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 11, the writer says, in quoting from Jeremiah 31, "They shall, listen to it, not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest." Well, think about what the writer is saying here in Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 11. Under the old law, people were born into the old covenant. It was a physical birth. One was born into the old covenant, and then when they reached a certain age, they were taught. And so under the old law, it had more to do with a physical birth. One was born into that covenant, and then one was taught later on. Well, again, in Hebrews chapter 8, the writer is showing that contrast, the contrast between the old covenant and the new covenant. Under the new covenant, there would be a birth, but it would be a spiritual birth. And we see that before one was born again under the new covenant from Hebrews 8 verse 11, one had to be taught before one could be born again. Now, the reason I'm pointing that out, you'll see that in John 5, 1 John 5 verse number 1. Again, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Son of God is born of God. Simply put, before one can be born again, one must be taught the gospel. One must learn the gospel. That is, one must learn the good news concerning God's redemptive plan of salvation, how Christ died for our sins, and how He was buried, and how the Father raised Him from the dead. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. In order for one to be born again, one must learn the gospel. One must believe the gospel. One must believe that Jesus is the Christ before they are born again. Well, what does it mean to be born again, simply put? To obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a little bit more specific, to be baptized into Jesus Christ. And we see that in John chapter 3, verse number 5. And so under the old covenant, there was a physical birth. Under the new covenant, there is a spiritual birth. How do we know we're overcomers? Overcomers have experienced the spiritual birth. They have obeyed the gospel. They have been baptized into Jesus Christ. And as we continue to look at the text of 1 John 5, 1 through 5, those who are overcomers, not only have they been born again, not only have they experienced the spiritual birth, but they love one another. And these are the points that the Apostle John has been laying throughout this great epistle. But again, John wants us to know. God wants us to know who we are as New Testament Christians. We are overcomers. Overcomers have been born again. Overcomers love one another. And then the third point we made last week from verse number 3, we know that we are overcomers if we keep God's commandments. And remember, God's commandments set those boundaries. God's commandments set those guidelines by which we live by. And they're there for our protection. Now as you look at 1 John 5, 1 through 5, you can really summarize this. A loving, obedient faith overcomes the world. Again, that's what John is emphasizing. We are overcomers, verses 4 and 5. We have overcome the world. We have overcome the wicked one. A loving, obedient faith overcomes the world. Do you realize that so many struggle with grasping faith, love, and obedience? So many misunderstand those three great words. Again, faith, love, and obedience. But when I read 1 John 5, 1 through 5, I see beautiful harmony between faith, love, and obedience. Well, that brings us to verses 6 through 12. Tonight we will be looking at 1 John 5, 6 through 12. And I want to give you what I call a bird's eye view of these verses. I really think as you study God's Word, whether you're looking at a chapter, perhaps you can even back up further, whether you're looking at a book, whether you're looking at a series of chapters or a chapter or a section or a block of Scripture like we're doing tonight, verses 6 through 12, it's important to be able to look at that block of Scripture or that chapter and really give a bird's eye view of what you're looking at, because it really helps you think through the text and keep things in its context. Well, here's a bird's eye view, if you please, of verses 6 through 12. We know that God has made eternal life available through His Son. We might add through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Again, God has made eternal life available to every person through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It reminds me of Acts 4, verse 12, where the Apostle Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other. Salvation is found only in Christ Jesus. Eternal life is found only in Christ Jesus. Now let me give you the key verse to this bird's eye view. It's found in verse number 11. Listen to what the Apostle John says by inspiration. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life, this eternal life, notice where it's found, this life is found in His Son. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm going to make a statement here beginning with this section of Scripture, because the statement that I'm going to make will really be seen from here on out throughout the end of this book. And here it is. Our faith in Jesus Christ is not an intellectual theory, but an abiding reality based upon the deity of Jesus Christ. Now again, our faith in Jesus is not an intellectual theory, but an abiding reality based upon the deity of Jesus Christ. Put that in your mind, because that is something that we're going to see beginning at verse 6 through the rest of the chapter. And so in verses 6 through at 12, the Apostle John will lay out evidence upon which our faith rests. Now remember what we are saying. God has given us eternal life. And this eternal life is found in His Son. But how do we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Notice how verse 5 ends. Let's just read verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the question that we're asking tonight. How do we know that Jesus is God's Son? If we're going to believe that God has given us eternal life, and that eternal life is found in His Son, how do we know that Jesus is God's Son? And hopefully you see that flow of thought. Hopefully you see that reasoning, because that's the reasoning we see right here in chapter 5. God wants us to know that eternal life is found in His Son. God wants us to know that Jesus is God's Son. And we'll see that all coming together when we get down to verse number 11 and verse number 12. And so again, we're going to look at the evidence. We're going to look at the testimony that is given in 6 through 12 that establishes that Jesus is God's Son. Notice what John says in verse number 6. Notice how verse number 6 begins. This is he speaking about Jesus. This is he that came. We know that Jesus is God's Son because the Scriptures teach that Jesus Christ, number one, came. He came to this earth. You remember how the Apostle John begins this great book? Listen to 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the Word of life. Do you see what John and really the apostles are saying about the Word of life? We have seen Him. We have heard Him. Again, our hands have handled Him. That is, our hands have touched Him. What is the Apostle John saying? Jesus Christ came to this earth. And there is so much evidence that shows that He came to this earth. By the way, what you're seeing here in these verses is also seen in John's account of the gospel. Think about how the Apostle John begins his account of the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, you remember, was made flesh. John is establishing that Jesus Christ came. We know that Jesus Christ is God's Son. We know that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ because He came to this earth. That was part of the Father's will. That was part of God's redemptive plan, the Word becoming flesh. That's why when we turn back to the Old Testament, We can summarize all 39 books of the Old Testament by saying Christ is coming. Christ is coming. He would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7, verse number 14. He would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, Micah 5, verse 2. God made it clear that He would send His Son all the way back in the book of Genesis when God makes that seed promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. And we turn to the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse number 16, and we see that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that seed promise. And this is one of the points that the Apostle John is making at the beginning of the book, and it's the same point that he's making at the end. We can believe in Jesus Christ. We can have eternal life because Jesus Christ came to this earth. When you bring in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, we learn why He came to this earth. He came to this earth. He partook of flesh and blood that He might destroy him that had the power of death. He destroyed the devil so that you and I could have eternal life. Go back, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 6. We also learn something else as we consider the testimony from verse number 6. This is He that came, number 1. Now notice number 2, by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, period. We'll stop right there. We see, secondly, that He came by water and blood. Question, what in the world does that mean? Again, God is laying down testimony. God is giving us evidence so that we might believe in Jesus Christ, so that we may have eternal life. What is it that God wants us to grasp from what John is revealing by inspiration? He came by water and blood. Well, water and blood refers to major events in the life of Jesus Christ. Again, water and blood refers to major events in the life of Jesus Christ. Water represents His, we might say, His earthly ministry. You remember when He was baptized by John in Matthew chapter 3? And remember, John had an issue with this. The Son of God was coming to be baptized of Him. John turns it around. I need to be baptized of you. But there in Matthew chapter 3, we see that Jesus Christ was baptized into water. You come to Matthew chapter 4, and you have the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry. We know that He came. We know that He walked upon this earth. We know that He taught. That's the point that John is making. There is evidence. There is testimony that He came. He came by water. And then number 2, the Apostle John says, by blood. By water, by blood. Blood represents the end of His ministry. Again, water, the beginning of His ministry. But now look at the blood, and we come to the end of His ministry here on this earth. In Matthew 26, verse number 28, Jesus said, "This is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of our sins." We remember from Scripture how Jesus hung on the cross in John 19, verse number 34. You remember the soldier that would come to the cross, how he would lift up his spear and how he would pierce the side of Jesus. In John 19, verse 34, it says that blood and water flowed from Jesus. The point that the Apostle John is making is this. His life, his death testify that he is the Son of God. His life, his death reveals that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Remember where eternal life is found? It's found in the Son of God. And God is saying, you look at his ministry. You look at his earthly ministry. You look at his death. Both testify that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But look at the verse. Go back to verse number 6. Just in one verse, look at the witnesses. Look at the testimony. We read about a third witness there in verse number 6. Don't miss it. Notice at the end of verse number 6, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness. It's crystal clear what John is getting across here. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. You have the testimony of his earthly ministry. You have the testimony of his death on the cross. But here you have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. You see, in Matthew chapter 3, we also see a manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus after he was baptized in Matthew chapter 3. But we also see the Spirit's work. We see the miraculous power of Christ. We see the signs of the apostles. We see the inspired revelation. Remember, Jesus made it clear that the Holy Spirit would have a part in God's redemptive plan. Well, sometimes we break it down like this when it comes to the redemptive plan of God. God designed it. That is, God the Father designed this plan. Jesus Christ brought it to fruition. He came. He was given a body, and he offered that body on the cross. And the Holy Spirit revealed it through the apostles, guiding the apostles into all truth. John is saying, you have the witness. You have the testimony of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. And you see the Spirit's work in Jesus. You see the Spirit's work in the apostles. And so John says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. Now look at verses 7 and 8 with me. Sometimes it gets a little complicated, we might say, when you look at verses 7 and 8. But keep this thought in mind. Keep the flow of the text. Look at verse 7. Look at verse number 8. For there are three that bear record, notice this, in heaven. You have the Father. You have the eternal Logos, the Word. And number three, you have the Holy Ghost. Verse number 7 is a picture of the Godhead. Scripture uses that terminology, the Godhead, the Father, the Son / the Word, and number three, the Holy Spirit. But here is a little side point, a great definition, as you think about the essence of the Godhead. Notice this there at the end of verse number 7. And these three are one. Three distinct personalities, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, but one divine essence. And notice, and these three are one. There's a point that is building here. And then in verse number 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth. There's testimony in heaven or from heaven. There is testimony in the earth. And these are the three that bear witness in the earth. We notice this already from verse number 6. You have the Spirit, number 1. You have the water, number 2, the earthly ministry of Christ. Number 3, you have the blood. You have the death of Christ. And notice this. And these three agree in one. Here's the point. All three testify of the same thing. They're all in agreement. Now that brings us to verse number 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. You see, we regularly accept the witness of men to draw conclusions. Do you see what the Apostle John, though, is saying about the witness of God? The witness of God is greater. I want you to underline something, though, at the end of verse number 9. For this is the witness of God. And this is probably seen more in the original language. The word witness is in the singular because the three witnesses that we read about in verse number 8, again, the Spirit, the water, the blood, and the three witnesses that we read about in verse 7, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, point to the same conclusion. And in other words, you look at all of the testimony. The testimony that is from heaven. The testimony that we have here on this earth. The testimony is clear. In other words, there is a single voice. What is that testimony? Again, God has given us eternal life. And that eternal life is in His Son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Look at verse number 10 now. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. If you believe Jesus to be who the Father says He is, you have received the Father's testimony. The Apostle John says, again, He hath witness in Himself. That is, if you believe what the Father reveals about Jesus Christ, you can know that you have eternal life. You remember what we said at the very beginning? Our faith in Jesus is not an intellectual theory, but an abiding reality based upon the testimony, based upon the evidence that we see in Scripture. And when you look at verses 6 through 12, if you see anything from verses 6 through 12, please see this. There is an abundant and overwhelming evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If we are going to have eternal life, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's bring this lesson to a close by reading verses 11 and verse 12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Here's the application. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The application, verse number 13, or verse number 12, is this. Do you have the Son? As you read verse number 12, He that hath the Son hath life, is very similar to what John says in his account in John 3, verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that obeyeth not the Son hath not life, but death abideth upon him. Again, if we want to have eternal life, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we must be born again. Do you see how verses 6 through 12 tie in to verse number 1? Again, if we want to have eternal life, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we must be born again. How do we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Look at all of the evidence that reveals that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that He claimed to be the Son of God. Don't ignore the evidence. Remember what John says. If we receive the witness of men, we are accustomed to this. This isn't something new. God wants us to know the witness of God that we see here, the testimony of God that we see here is greater. Look at the evidence. Believe the evidence. Draw logical conclusions from the evidence. If we honestly look at the evidence, we'll believe in Jesus and we will obey the Son of God. Hebrews 5 verse 9 teaches us that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. And so again tonight, do you have the Son? You can answer that question tonight by simply asking yourself whether or not you have obeyed the gospel. The only way that you can have the Son is by obeying the gospel and by living faithfully according to the gospel. If you haven't done that, we want you to know that we're here to help you tonight, to assist you in your spiritual life. If we can help you with anything, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.